Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of GSC's Rude Mechanicals. This is where we have a chat with one of the members of our artistic team. So our directors, our designers, stage managers, the people who make the shows come alive on stage. And today we're very honoured to be chatting with Annette Black. Now, Annette has worked with us for quite a long time and in many different roles. She has been an associate designer, assistant designer, costume supervisor, wardrobe supervisor, all of those sort of things. So should we just call you sort of costume department supremo or something like that?
Thank you for the new title. I like it.
So Annette, when did you start? What was your first show with us? Can you remember? Was it
Othello?
Othello in 2014.
With Caroline. Yeah. And you know, Neil's amazing set design with the enormous big bed.
Yes, that came up as a map. It was a map in the first half and then the bed.
Exactly. And then it became the bed. And then, you know, the 1950s costume design.
Yeah. And you've worked on...
That was the first show, yeah.
You've worked on quite a few now. I mean, and in all, like I said, in all those different roles. So, Henry V.
Yeah, that was interesting. Because kind of most of your, you know, your settings are kind of unusual and challenging and exciting. But Henry V was interesting because on top of that hill where, you know, cathedral standing,
yeah.
Wow, the wind and the rain at one point.
Yeah.
That was, yeah, challenging, really but amazing, especially stunning.
So obviously it's not just GSC you work with, you know, you work with lots of other companies, you know, around the country and stuff, but could you give us a little bit of a, you know, a bit of a window into how you got started and you know, and where your love of costume and design and stuff began?
I probably started quite early. You know, my couple of my aunts and my mum are tailors and seamstresses, so there have always been, you know, bits of fabrics and patterns and bits like that in the house. So after I'd done my UPI, what is equal, you know, kind of similar to A-levels, I kind of came to London for a year to, you know, improve my English, and I just fell in love with the, you know, kind of atmosphere. And so I applied to the London College of Fashion, what is amazingly 1 minute away from, you know, Oxford Circus. So and Wendy took me on, and you know, I studied there. What else can you do, isn't it? 19 in the middle of London, you know, in the middle of theatre land. So I just kind of fell in love even more and really wanted to costume. And afterwards I was lucky enough to work, you know, in big companies like the E&O or Covent Garden, and you know, with the late Maria Bronson, and to kind of not necessarily do costume design, but just to see what small bits all connect to the bigger picture. So, you know, I kind of worked in lots of different, maybe that's kind of part of me, lots of different kind of places where I kind of just learned the trade from down up. So kind of to see all the basics, what needs to be done. That's probably how I started.
So, and so is that sort of, you know, along with sort of your making, obviously those companies have massive costume departments where they can, they're making clothes from scratch and making costumes from scratch. But then within that, there are going to be hats, tailoring,
exactly.
Shoes.
And that is the amazing thing. This, like in Covent Garden, when I worked there, I kind of went through so many departments. I was incredibly lucky. So, you know, I was...
That's the Royal Opera House, isn't it, Covent Garden?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I was in the dye. They have a whole workshop, a whole kind of, you know, department of just breaking down costumes, you know.
Wow.
So there's enormous pots of, you know, these beautiful costumes what that get made, and these costumiers spend hours, weeks, you know, sometimes months on making a costume look beautiful, and then it comes to that department and it gets broken down. Sometimes heartbreaking, but worth it.
And breaking down is about making the costume look like it's been worn for ages. And
exactly, because unlike, you know, a jumper or costume what is brand new made, you know, it doesn't look like it's maybe been worn for 5 weeks sleeping in the forest. So to make sure that it really looks lived in and shows the character,
right?
Or what's supposed to,
yeah,
the character.
And yeah. then.
So that was the exciting thing.
So then, and then from there, was it just sort of then contacts? You started to build contacts and worked around in different different companies and things.
Yeah, it's a theatre. It's a lot of how you work with people, and the costume designer, I noticed more than whatever costume designer, costume supervisor, is you have to get on with people. You know, you have to be able to work with people and collaborate with people. And as more as you kind of get on with people, as more kind of jobs you do get. And that's, you know, you obviously still have to, you know, produce a costume at the end of the day, but yeah, it's a lot about connections.
So when you start on a project, when does your work begin on a project, and what's your approach to sort of getting started as from a designer's point of view, from a costume design point of view?
So the essence of costume design for me is supporting and developing of a character. So it's almost like visual storytelling, but in a physical way. As one of my tutors once said, do remember when you create your world, in the end there have to be 3D bodies in it. So it's keeping that in mind. The first step is to meet the director, and the director chooses to the world you want to create, not only the period, but maybe what kind of atmosphere, what kind of, you know, state you want to, you know, if it's like a comedy or if they want to make it, you know, darker. So that's kind of the first meeting. With that information, I go away and then find lots of research. We're very lucky in London or near London. You know, we go to museums, we have amazing galleries, but photos, books. My husband would say there's 80% of our library at home is kind of full of art and costume books. So, you know, lots of research and really wide. I try to read and look at lots of things around the subject, because eventually you have to narrow yourself down, but in the beginning you kind of try to involve and really get into that world you're trying to create. So it's not only about the costumes, but sometimes it's these kind of things like, say in the 16th centuries, why suddenly these doors became really wide, or 17th centuries, because the costumes, you know, these panniers, these enormous big kind of costumes, the girls couldn't get through the door, you know, or the ladies. It's not very kind of elegant to go sideways, isn't it? So, you know, all these kind of little gems you find when you read around the subjects. That's really interesting. And then with all that information, there's a couple more meetings with the director to really finalize each character. And then with that information, the final costume design is made. And that's the drawing. And with that in hand, we start kind of looking where to get the costumes from. So if it's like a period costume, it's probably a higher, big higher places, or we may make it. And if it's more contemporary costumes, we probably, maybe we hire it, we buy it, or we kind of make it again. Hmm. But with buying, it's not this, you know, we get it from a Zara hanger and straight into the stage. There still have to be a creative process through it.
Yeah, because even you know, when we've worn clothes of your, you know, designs of yours, and, you know, yes, it might come from, you know, a high street shop or an online shop because it's a fairly modern, but actually at the same time, it's got to be made to look like, it can't be looked like it's just come off the hanger. It's got to be made to look like I've worn it for 20 years because it's my favourite jacket. Yeah. But the style you want is that kind
of
style.
Yeah, we may add, you know, extra pockets, or we may change slightly the sleeve because, you know, things are kind of on stage quite far away under certain lights. What beautiful kind of lace makes it look stunning, you know, when we look at it, but under the light, it may just disappears.
Right.
So that's what I'm trying to say, you know, this, we still have to, it has to have a creative process. The next step is fittings. And fittings is quite a kind of challenging, exciting part, because sometimes that's the first time we see the performer in flesh. We had the measurements, but you know, that's not always as accurate or not always tells the whole story. So fittings are quite exciting. I'm a great believer in this. You have to have lots and lots of clothes to, you know, to give us choices, to give us more options.
Yeah.
And as I said early on, to kind of talk to people is a kind of a big thing, especially in the fittings. So in the fittings, we kind needs to do. You know, if he has to do a somersault on stage, the costume obviously has to kind of hopefully work with that. And then after the fittings, we kind of do the alterations, we may do the breaking down. We may find special things, you know, kind of if it suddenly comes out in a fitting, the performer says, I can really see my character having a certain bag or having the lining of my coat in the yellow because, you know, nobody sees it, but it makes the performer special.
Yeah.
And makes just his character kind of, it just supports his character building, and that's maybe what we do.
I must say that from my experience, that's one of the most exciting moments as an actor, is to come into the fittings room with you and to start dressing. It's like dressing up. It's like because on the first day of the read through, that's when you usually present the designs to everybody and go, this is the idea of what we think, you know, Malvolio is going to look like, or Touchstone will look like, or whatever. And then you're kind of, oh, that's exciting. Okay, so, but then in rehearsal as an actor, you're finding things and you're going, oh, actually, do you know what? I think maybe a walking stick, or I think maybe he should have glasses, but they need to be those ones on the end of your nose glasses, or and there might be things that you've not considered in, and then you come into the fitting room and we stand, you know, with, you know, in like you dress us up in what you've created, and then it's a wonderful collaboration, I always feel, in that moment, especially working with you, Annette, in terms of, you know, you're really open to what the actor wants or needs to make their character come to life. And I find that really exciting, really special, because for an actor, it's the first moment that the character seems real, suddenly the shoes are there. And those shoes are so important because they're how you stand or whatever. Do you find, though, also, you know, it must be such a, well, like with all acting, all theatre is a negotiation in terms of what's on stage, in terms of the actor goes, I don't like this dress. I didn't see him wearing purple at all. I think he's much more, red or something. Do you ever have those sorts of situations where?
Yes. I think generally 99% of things can be kind of sorted out in a fitting room. With just a normal conversation and listen to each other, you know, and as you said, isn't it, and being kind of prepared if there's a good reason to get away from costume design and go, actually, no, you're right, that doesn't quite work, whatever happened in my head, we need to kind of put all these puzzle pieces together and create a picture, whole picture. Occasionally, and very rarely, it happens when there is a kind of slightly more, when the conversation slightly breaks down. It doesn't happen very often. I do remember talking about Dover Opera House, and we had a fitting with a lovely lady who was in the chorus. And first of all, she played a nun, the old man nuns, and she was going, oh, I'm allergic to black. And we're going, oh, okay, we can work with that.
To a colour.
And the next thing is, bless her, the person who made all these costumes, the costumier was there, and the lady, kind of as a chorus, as nuns, just had to walk on stage holding a candle. And that lady kept saying, I can't move. And she kept kind of moving her arms really high over her head and breaking the costume. And the poor costumier standing next to me kind of almost crying. So occasionally it's challenging. But yeah. I think generally you can work it out.
And then when we get to the... when we get onto site in the technical rehearsals and stuff, all the costume, we're all then into our final costumes, we're on stage, we're working out. What's it like for you then watching your costumes being used for the first time?
That's really exciting. I think Tech Week is generally a really tiring week because there are lots of practical things still to happen. You know, when suddenly the trousers are a little bit too long or the skirt. So there are lots of practical things. But generally, it's really exciting because it's the first time you see them all together in the world, you know, on set with the lights. And, you know, and then a performer comes to you and goes, do you know what? Whatever hanky you found me, that really helped me. Or, you know, if you go, do you know what? The costume is just right. I can't ask for more.
No, I must admit, I mean, in tech, all I ever think, every time I see you in the tech week, is that you just seem to be like attached to a sewing machine. And
yeah, I don't ever go home.
I know, you're like from like 9 a.m. in the morning through to like 11 o'clock at night, just at a sewing machine.
That's what I mean with the practical side, because, you know, whatever, how much you prepare beforehand, when suddenly somebody has to wear a costume, you know, 6 hours instead of, you know, 10 minutes in a fitting, things will happen and things will, you know, there maybe has to be a quick change.
Or like you say, and suddenly, you know, they're doing a move and the trousers split, which has happened to me a couple of times, or all of a sudden, you like you say, oh, I need pockets. This amazing coat we've got just doesn't have any pockets. And I know, I've suddenly got props for the, you know, could be for the first time handed to you, or... and I suppose that's also when you get the colours as well, with the lights, so which you've not seen before. So it may be that you suddenly go, well, is that true? You might go, well, actually, do you know what, I don't know, that speckled throw, which we thought would look really great, actually is completely gone because of the lighting design. So then it becomes about that collaboration again.
Yeah. And I think that comes with some things you can avoid with lots of experience and trying to kind of think of what the lighting would be. But some things you can't. And sometimes, you know, what looks amazing, the blue, you know, you think it's the most stunning blue, but it just washes out on stage.
Yeah.
And then you go, ooh, we need to think of something else then. And there could be trips down at the shop.
Yes. What are your what's your favourite part of the process? Do you have like a favourite part, or is it tech, or?
I like, to be honest, most things are nice, but what is probably my favourite thing ever is when you sit in trance and you kind of suddenly go, oh my gosh, what started off as a tiny little something in my head, or in a, you know, to create a team's head, you know, what could be a picture or a jump or whatever, suddenly is that kind of world, what is in front of us, you know, including the costume set. And I'm always incredible, just thankful to be able to be part of that.
I must admit, I think it's just, it's so mad. I mean, I feel really privileged to, you know, GSC has done, you know, 40 over 40 shows, and we, you know, all of them are different. And and all the ones that you've worked on since 2014, you know, they're, you know, sometimes you say they're in the 50s, or then you've got Romeo and Juliet in the Georgian period with, you know, big frocks and tailcoats and things. And then you go to, you go to something like, you know, Much Ado About Nothing in the 40s, in the end of the 40s, or then you're in the Merry Wives of Windsor in the 70s with those awful shirts, which were brilliant. But it's such a complete world. It's really fascinating to be a part of and to see it, you know, come alive.
And we are very privileged, aren't we, as you said, isn't it, to be able to create a world.
Yeah.
And to have everybody working together to create it. It's a very special thing, isn't it?
Are there any particular styles of costume design? I mean, we just said there are a number of styles, you know, the Georgian period and 70s and things. Is there a particular period or periods that you know, if the director says, well, I'm thinking of setting this in the X period, are you like, oh, I can't wait, oh, that's going to be my favourite, or how fantastic. Is there a period that you like?
I like, normally when you start a kind of a project, you kind of get so engulfed in it. You kind of find things, you know, I actually like most periods. But if I would have to say, there's something about the 1930s, or the glamorous 1930s, you know, not the one is just stunning. It wouldn't suit me, but it's a beautiful, like, the lines are beautiful, the fabrics are beautiful. It is very glamorous, you know, as a style. You wouldn't want to run to the bus, stop with it, but, you know, but, you know, to look at, it's beautiful.
And do you find, because you're from Germany originally, do you find that costume design there is different to costume design in the UK? Is there any differences, you know, in the way the departments work from your experience, or is it pretty much a, you know?
I think generally in Germany, theatres are more supportive, so the costume departments are generally probably slightly bigger.
Right.
And maybe the bigger companies, or even kind of medium-sized companies, don't have as many self-employed people who kind of work there. So maybe certain paths are easier because people mm-hmm. don't kind of know what they're doing. But I, and sometimes certain, I think Germany generally likes a lot of blood in their design, lots of blood and nudity, I think. but generally there's a lot of, you know, similarities
yeah.
as well.
Okay. So, are there any, before we go, I should ask you, is there any sort of favourite moments you have from your time with GSC, anything that you're particularly proud of, individual costume moments where you're like, oh, that worked, or, oh, thank goodness that that was a bit of a risk, but it worked, or there was a challenge to...
I think we all kind of always have a challenge, isn't it? You know, talking about blood, obviously the blood in Julius Caesar was... actually, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it's a little bit where your heart just goes a bit like, oh, yeah, will that work? And it always works, you know.
Yeah.
A little bit of time. I don't know. There's so many amazing ones. And I think the locations sometimes just enhance the costume design. So, you know.
I was going to ask you about that, Annette. Sorry, actually. About the, I mean, obviously designing for the theatre and then designing for... sites responsive theatre, so we're in churches or we're in lake or, you know, by lakes or castle gardens, whatever, we're not in places where costumes can actually be. I mean, one of the biggest worries for us as a production company, the producers, is how we're going to keep these costumes clean and tidy in the open air if it rains every day. And do you find as a costume designer that element is something also that you're constantly, you know, aware of in the design process?
I think you have to. I think with outdoor, you can't not design it without, you know, you have to keep the weather in mind. So, for example, talking about, you know, George and Romeo and Juliet, I think that particular one would have been hard to do outdoors.
Yeah.
Because those costumes, if they get wet, they're kind of period hired costumes.
Mm-hmm.
They would just be ruined.
Yeah.
Or if you kind of want to do wigs outdoors, it's just the dampness of the, you know, it will ruin the wig. So yes, doing it outdoor, you have to keep in mind. Yeah, you have to start kind of with the shoes. You know, it starts with the shoes. They have to be practical shoes as well as looking good. And it starts with the length of a trouser or a length of a skirt. If it's muddy,
different choices that you would make if you're doing the same show in the same period on indoors. You have to tailor it slightly differently to the open air. So these lovely, you know, heeled shoes for, you know, Portia at the beginning of Merchant of Venice or something, when she's happy in Belmont and stuff and drinking her cocktails, the actress probably couldn't have that same type of costume in the open air if she's going to be on grass, and because she'll sink. In the
exactly.
heels and stuff like that.
And you know, these shoes are kind of like little silk shoes. Yeah. They kind of, you wear them once on a quasi area and that's gone, isn't it?
Oh, yes, of course. Of course. It's not just the heels and the soles of them. It's actually, but that's the other thing, isn't it? It's the grip as well. That's the other thing that we've become, you know, very aware of with our shows as well, because in the open air, you've got to be able to grip on the stage if it's wet or damp. And, you know, how many times have actors come to you and gone, can you score the bottoms of my shoes, please? Can you, I'm slipping around in these.
Yeah, I think they keep the cobblers in Guildford quite stopped with work.
That's true. And I must admit, the moments when you present, you know, with Neil sometimes, a costume design where, all right, so all the boys are going to be in white flannel trousers and their white shirts. And you go, oh, all those grass stains.
So no, we try to keep it in mind.
Yeah.
It is weather dependent, isn't it?
it is. But that's part of the lovely challenge, I suppose, isn't it?
Exactly.
So before we, you know, go, what sort of things have you been doing most recently? I know you did Macbeth with us, but what were some of your most recent?
Just before, you know, whatever period we are in the moment happened, we done a Tempest in London, in German Street.
Oh, with our friends at German Street, yes.
Yes, with you know, what was special. We had, unfortunately, it was only four or five performances before it's, you know, it had to close. But that was special because it's a really nice kind of atmosphere in German Street. I've done a couple of shows in Guildford School of Acting, and we were just preparing for a children's opera in London. Let's see what happens with that.
Fingers crossed for that. I hope that.
Yeah. So.
That can be restaged.
Let's see. Yes.
Great.
Good.
Well, Annette, thank you so much for taking the time out to chat with us today.
Thank you for having me.
No, been great. It's lovely to catch up on all sorts of different bits and bobs. And I shall look forward to seeing you in the fitting room again very soon, I hope.
Very soon. You take care and looking forward to you soon. Bye.
Bye.